The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, promoters, DJs and venue owners from Dublin met on Wednesday night to discuss issues around licensing and venues in Dublin and beyond, particularly how early in the evening everyone is told to head off home rather than continuing to enjoy their night out. Sunil Sharp is a DJ who's involved with the Give Us The Night campaign. Sunil, thank you very much for joining us. Just tell us what it is you're trying to achieve.
Well, at this point, we want to start debate and discussion about our licensing system here in Ireland. Later opening is obviously one part of that, especially for nightclubs. So we feel that a real debate and discussion needs to start, which has started in fine fashion this week, about the licensing laws and about our nighttime economy and our nighttime industry.
So, Neil, there's a sense of back to the future about this. I remember back in the Celtic Tiger days, we had many debates about this, about, you know, all the pubs and clubs closing at certain times, everyone been deposited on the streets at the same time, searching for taxis at the same time, increased violence, people wanting somewhere else to go and regulating the night that way. We're back to that again, are we?
It's deja vu, yeah. We're back in the same place and we keep coming back and talking about the same thing. And I think that says a lot. We keep coming back to the same thing. A lot of Irish people will say, oh, but what if, and we think this and we think that. We still haven't tried it and we need to try it. Actually, in Dublin, we have had later opening hours on and off over the years and it has worked. I see it regularly, week in, week out, abroad, how a staggered closing system works. And it's what the police in those areas want. It's what the people involved in the nighttime industry want. It serves everybody within the nighttime industry. Obviously, some of the arguments that will come up will be about possibly local residents or excess alcohol consumption, all of these things which we completely understand. But there's ways around this. We talk about it. We don't just park it offside, make it a little thing in the media for 5 minutes until 3 or 4 years down the line. We have to do something about it now. We don't know what's coming down the line with Brexit. We don't know if we're going to have the same level of tourism. We're flushing money down the toilet every single week. And it needs to end. We need to do something substantial this time. And I think a complete overhaul or re-examination of the licensing laws needs to take place very, very soon.
So now we have a second guest, Chris Luke from Cork University Hospital, Dr. Chris Luke, who I want to go to in a second. But before I talk to him, I mean, what about the potential, though, for extra drunkenness and violence? Or could it work in the other way around, you? Because is it still the case that for many Irish people that when they know that there's a sort of a deadline on when they can get drink, they start trying and horseback as much as they can to get as pissed as possible before the shutters come down?
I see it all the time. You know, I think Chris and I may have different understandings of what binging is. Obviously, for him, binging would be the amount of units that are drank over a night. Binging, as I have seen in the past, is people drinking excess amounts in an unnatural space of time. And that's what you see a lot in nightclubs, everyone rushing to get an extra drink or maybe even up to 3 drinks because it's coming up to 2:30. And that's crazy. That's not going to help anybody.
Okay, Dr. Chris Luke from the Emergency Department of Cork University Hospital. You're very experienced in this whole area, aren't you? Because I remember you telling me before about particularly when you used to work in Manchester, you would have been very familiar with the club scene over there and the drink and drugs that people might have taken.
Absolutely. Matt, I worked, as you know, as a consultant in Liverpool, it was, with Cream, the famous nightclub there, which used to attract up to 3,000 customers a night. And, you know, they had problems with their license by the early 90s because of the sheer success meant that there was a lot of drug dealing and stuff. And, in fact, they were threatened with the loss of their license. And they approached me because I had an interest in joyriding prevention and drug safer injecting and all that kind of stuff. So we managed to help them save their license by going to the club and working out what the needs of the customers were. And over the last 20 years, we've helped to drive forward the licensing and training of door staff, of bar staff. We've helped to generate proper immediate medical care within the big clubs and provision of free water and so on and forth. And in fact, we had the 10th International Club Health Conference at Dublin Castle last year, where we continue to review all the issues that affect the nighttime economy in all great cities such as Dublin. So, you know, I mean, to be fair, I have no particular problem with licensing hours. as long as people understand that, you know, where clubs and pubs are profiting from extended hours and so forth, well, then they need to, you know, in terms of the polluter pays principle, I think that they should pay for whatever the consequences are in terms of public order, public disorder, health consequences and so forth. So, you know, in places like Bristol and Belfast, for instance, they provide a medical bus in the city centres where people who are perhaps drunk or worse for wear or have minor injuries are actually looked after in the city centre near the clubs and pubs by nurses and paramedics. And I think, you know, that's again a way forward. If pubs and clubs are opening their hours, there's going to be, you know, more consequences. So as long as they understand that there's going to be issues with policing and transport and healthcare, I have no problem.
What do you think of that, Sunil Sharp?
I think that's very positive, because I've actually spoken with, I've been on your show before, and we spoke with another gentleman that time, Dr. Joe Barry, and he wouldn't have been saying the exact same thing as Chris. And obviously Chris has experienced this in another country, and Manchester has a vibrant, a famous music scene and club scene. And I think promoters and clubs here will be very open to some of the things that Chris is suggesting there. Yeah.
Okay, what sort of reactions are you getting from politicians, Sunil?
You know yourself, when an election is coming up, they're all interested. We love it. Oh, that sounds great. But when the election goes away, or when, see, this all operates under liquor licensing. You know, we don't want this to all revolve around alcohol, but unfortunately it does. And really, there's a lot more to be discussed here that has nothing to do with alcohol, that has to do with how we utilize our towns and cities at night. But there's obviously the age profile in the Dáil is now younger. We're seeing the tidal change in Irish politics in recent weeks and recent months. Everything is changing, and certainly most of the politicians I've spoken to anytime recently have been very interested. There's a groundswell of support coming through the country now. We've noticed, particularly from promoters and from people involved in operating clubs, and there's a belief out there, I believe now, that this actually will change. I wouldn't go as far as saying it's imminent, but I think it could be very soon. One thing to note, Charlie Flanagan, our current Justice Minister, is one of the few prominent TDs who has actually gone on record to support later opening in the past. And I really hope he'll be a man of his word and will actually follow through on that sooner rather than later.
OK, Dr. Chris Luke, I think you wanted to come back in there a minute ago.
Just to say, Matt, that, you know, it's not just Liverpool and Manchester, but, you know, in Cork, we ran a scheme called Club Cork for years, where medics like myself and the police and ambulance crews used to go into all the big premises and train the staff up in terms of what to expect. And, you know, that I think that helped to really damp down any difficulty we had in the city centre there, and it was a great success for a long time, called Club Cork. The other thing is, at Club Health last year, we had Sadiq Khan's right-hand man, he's a lawyer, who was talking about the fact that in the daytime, London tends to be self-policing. In other words, you have a mixture of people on the streets, and that the bustle, the hustle and bustle, and the heterogeneous population of the old and the young and so on, means that people tend not to create trouble. The problem that we have often at night in cities is that you have only the 18 to 28-year-olds or 18 to 38-year-olds. You have a kind of ghettoization or age segregation. And the Sadiq Khan's ambition was to turn London nightlife into a mirror image of its daytime activity. In other words, that it becomes sort of self-policing itself. And that's something we need to understand. The other thing is that we're not continentals. You know, we keep hearing that British and Irish politicians talk about continental model, but the ultimate stumbling block is that the Irish and the Brits are insular island nations, and we're not continentals.
There is a huge gulf, though, between the licensing laws in Ireland versus the UK, though. Would you not agree, Chris?
Absolutely. I mean, basically, this is what the City Can's partner was basically talking about their plans. This is the idea of how to keep the city safe at night. And in other words, it doesn't matter really what the license is, as long as you understand the sort of the ecology of the nighttime industry. In other words, that to keep people safe and sound, you need things like transport, lighting, taxi rank stewards, and so forth. As long as people are aware of that, we can work around it.
I think nightclubs would be very open to contributing to and in the way we were speaking about there, but I do feel that the the amount of money that nightclubs have to pay to open their doors, it's extremely high. There's no other country in Europe, at least, who would have to pay these kind of amounts of money. You're talking in the region of over 100,000 euros for a busy venue, no matter how big the venue is. So it's a one size fits all fee or series of fees that you have to pay every month. Now, and this is getting passed on down to promoters, to people that like DJs, musicians. It's really not, we're in a grim situation at the moment. So already venues have to pay an awful lot, and they only really get an hour or two peak trade. And sometimes they mightn't even have a good night, and they've had to shell out for that as well. I think we need to look at how this money is handled. And also, perhaps the government might enrich our music scene and our nightlife and our nighttime industry with some of this money that they're taking, because they're grabbing 410 euros per night a month in advance in the courts, and see you later. I know this money goes back into the state coffers, but it's specifically to be a licensed premises and to go late. But really, it's going into music venues as well. It's not all about alcohol, and we need to start having conversations about other stuff.
Sinéad Sharp from the Give Us a Night campaign, and Dr. Chris Luke from Cork University Hospital, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.